Yes, everybody. It is Monday morning. The only podcast on earth
that's playing
you licensed music.
For nothing down.
For nothing.
For free. We are the free podcast. And don't forget, that we are also the gluten-free podcast.
Yes, we are now presented gluten-free.
Gluten-free for your pleasures. So if you're vegan, don't have to worry. If you're not vegan, don't have to worry. Lots of gluten and lots of non-gluten in our podcast. Gluten-free, that is.
So yes, no commercials. We don't have any commercials. I mean, the joke commercials that we play in between just to separate some time.
Oh yeah, just for our sponsors that actually do help us get along with time as well.
Yeah, our phony baloney sponsors that we made up. We also do that. We should give shout outs to them. But honestly, there's no commercials and there won't ever be commercials. You know why? Because they can shove it. Also, we play licensed music. How come? Because it's free. It's a free podcast. They don't get paid. We don't get paid. Nobody's getting paid.
Nobody's getting paid and everybody is getting made to be super cool. And as you know, we are in the super cool stages and we're right in the middle, in the midst of it all. In the midst of what all? The crazy Halloween, crazy, super scary edition of the Runner and Gunner podcast.
Yes.
Which means it's the scariest stories and the scariest editions. You got a question for me.
Are you ready for this, everybody? It is time! Starring Michael Jordan! Hey, what's up, guys? My name's Michael Jordan. And Bugs Bunny!
What's up, Doc?
And Daffy Duck! Suffering succotash. Everybody, we're here. We're about to give you the top 10 greatest villains ever of all time.
Of our lifetimes, your lifetimes, everybody's life. And there's nobody scarier than these top 10 guys because they have done so much gruesome, so much insane insanity in your world. They will freaking tear you apart. They'll rip your guts and eat them. They'll tear them out. And then they'll freaking eat your intestines alive while you watch with your eyes wide open.
Yes, it is true.
And these are these top 10 psychopaths.
We're only going to give you the people who didn't quite make the top 10. But then we're going to save the top 10 for after the death of Tupac and the death of Biggie Smalls.
And Tupac.
So, with that said.
All right, let's give him a little.
With number 14.
Number 14 is.
R. Kelly.
Don't ask why, just know he's not shy.
He is definitely a horror villain.
Was villainy.
Villainous.
Villainio.
Number 13, which didn't quite make the list also, you know, the top 10 is very, you know, exclusive.
Yeah, it's an exclusive list, and you have to be super duper beyond evil to make it.
You know, just not beyond evil, but beyond maybe like, you know, maybe cool. You're
uncompromisable.
Transversing the lines of what is cool, you know.
Trans-something-y.
But these people didn't make the list, so they're definitely not cool. So number 13, we have... Michael Jackson.
Don't ask why. Drink Bud Dry.
He is so definitely a horror movie villain.
Yeah. Maybe it could be the reconstruction of the face. We don't know the truth. Or it could be something else. Anyways, he made the list.
And now we're moving on. Number 12 who didn't quite make the list is O.J. Simpson.
And just keep your ears peeled because there might be an actual... guest surprise with O.J. Simpson in the list. So we're not sure if he made the list, but he's up there.
Naked Gun Part 1, Naked Gun Part 2, and Naked Gun Part 3. And right after he done filmed that, then he killed.
Naked.
And murdered.
Naked people.
Number 11, which didn't quite make the list
as well, was Gremlins' own
Spike. Gremlins from Spike. Spike from Gremlins.
Gizmo Kaka. Best line in Gremlins 2. Mad props to the writers for that one.
My favorite part was that the grandpa from Three Ninjas was in it, and he sold Gizmo to Billy.
He shouldn't have, which is a big mistake.
It's a big mistake.
Because all Billy did was water them like plants and feed them
like
ants.
And then Spike is Gizmo's son.
Gizmo Kaka.
All right, everybody. We're going to get into this show. And it is going to get very scary.
Oh, wait. We forgot about the extra villain. Who was the Gremlins' old man Asian guy at the store?
Yeah, that's him.
Oh, yeah.
The grandpa from Three Ninjas.
Karate Kid. Ninja. Part 3.
Johnny.
Johnny's best friend.
Johnny is a villain, right? Didn't he murder?
Oh, Oh, he did.
You didn't see it, but on part one and a half, Johnny Murders.
Yeah, it was Karate Kid 1.5.
Yeah, he's having a chicken drive with this guy, and he runs him off the road, and he goes to the hospital where he's pronounced dead. They didn't show that. Maybe you could YouTube it
because
or Google.
Johnny did a backflip on top of his roof of his car, jumped backwards, and then the Karate Kid witnessed it all, but ran home to Mr. Miyagi and didn't tell a soul.
Yes, so if you don't believe us, go ahead on your little Google and look it up.
Karate Kid 1.5.
And you can watch Karate Kid with Mr. Miyagi and Daniel-san. Yeah.
Listen, everybody.
We got a caution to tell you that this episode's about to get very dark.
And scary.
And very, very scary.
So before we actually say this episode, we got to give you a warning. So warning to all you children out there, everybody under the age of 12, you might want to either plug your ears or be prepared to be scared.
Or just turn off the episode until a little bit later, then turn back on the episode.
Yeah. Go play
when
Mario
all the scary stuff
Sega.
Is turned off. I mean, okay. Over. When all the scary stuff is over, turn
then
it back on.
Then you can turn it back on and it's back to the good stuff.
Just fast forward it. You know, you got the Spotify, just put your little slider over, fast forward this part because it's too scary for you kids.
Mm-hmm. So we'll take about 20 minutes into the episode and then you will see what's happening after that. Which we announce the villains of the century. I mean, of the millennium. I mean, of the
year.
World.
The best villains.
The best villains
of
all
year.
Time is what we're talking about. Of all time this year.
All right, so everybody, let's get into the show.
Shall we?
Tupac Shakur, whose name was LaShawn Parrish Crooks, was born on June 16th, 1971.
Tupac!
Machiavelli, Tupac, does that ring a bell? LaShane.
Tupac.
Little LaShane Jr. Parrish Crooks.
Shout out to his mama, Feeny. What's up, Feeny? Rest your soul.
The year was 1971. The Beatles had just broken up. Elvis was in Vegas. And the world was heading for sure disaster.
It did look like the 70s were going to be terrible, didn't it?
Yeah, you know.
But Mr. Feeny was pushing on hard. And here was Tupac going on through the deep depths of he didn't know where.
Give me shelter.
And then he came out of the womb and he said, wow, I feel like I'm going to be a Black Panther. And he accomplished that because he was born into Black Pantherism, or into the Black Panther Party, to be exact. So, which is very cool, and much respect to that.
Yeah.
Her name all you guys.
Afeni Shakur.
Afeni, we love you.
Rest Afeni Shakur.
She's not with us anymore. Rest her soul.
Relocated the family to Baltimore, Maryland.
Maryland, huh?
And if you've never been to Maryland, let us tell you that it has excellent crabs and lobsters.
Mm, it sure does, man. Right on the shore. Mm. Good stuff. But you see, Tupac was kind of in the poverty section of Maryland. So he couldn't afford those big crabs and lobsters. He was more eating crackers and peanut butter and things like that, like peanut butter sandwiches and, you know, turning your stove on instead of buying a heater because it was too expensive with electricity because the lights were out and things were crazy. So it was rough times in Baltimore, Maryland, that is. And he grew up with his mom.
Afeni.
And he did have... His dad was never actually there. But Afeni decided to name him after his stepfather.
LaShane.
But then she named him Tupac.
After an Indian.
After a warrior.
An Indian warrior.
A great warrior.
Indigenous.
That was ready to do great things. So she knew right away, as a little kid, she knew she seen something special in this young little child. She seen gifts inside him that were just bursting and waiting to come out and to show the world and to make the world a better place. And little did he know that he was growing up with music that would inspire him to become one of the greatest artists of all time. I'm not going to say hip-hop artist. I'm going to say artist itself.
But the mom was fooling everybody because the Indian warrior who she named her son after was beheaded in Peru.
No! That's pretty sad.
Was she setting the fate for her son by changing his name from LaShane? Maybe she knew the boy and saw it in his eyes that he will be beheaded just like Tupac II.
Tupac number two. Yeah,
the Incan Indian warrior.
Wow.
Who was beheaded in Peru in 1781.
Wow. That is insane. And another thing is he had an older stepbrother named Moprim Konmani Shakur. And he had a half-sister.
Wow. He's got siblings. He knows how to share.
2 years his junior. So she was his little junior. A little mini Tupac girl. You know, so
Shakur's Oh, he also had parents. A stepfather, Mutulu.
Mm-hmm.
Mutulu Shakur.
Mutulu was Kulu.
Mutulu was wanted by the Fibbies.
FBs. By the bees.
The bees. He was wanted heavily by the bees. The bees were around the house. The bees had microphones in their baloney.
Yeah. And they were listening to every unphony baloney conversation that they were having, which would eventually cause a lot of people to go to a lot of bad places behind bars. It shouldn't have been, but at the time, I mean, that's just the way things were back then.
So the time was the 80s. Tupac lived in San Francisco.
Woo! Up north.
And he was becoming a very decorated young artist.
Yes,
actor,
he was.
What does he do? What's that term? Posthumous.
Posthumous artist.
He became a posthumous artist.
Posthumously.
And
artistly.
Posthumous he became with his posthumous arts.
Yeah, he was great.
He started climbing the ladders in San Francisco as kind of like some celebrityism.
So what he really started, I mean, in Baltimore, we didn't mention that he did go to acting school, and that's where he met Will Smith's current wife, but we're not going to get into all that.
Jada, oh yeah.
They became greatest friends, and she still talks about him to this
Tupac
day.
Tupac was dating Jada Pinkett Smith.
Yeah, yeah.
We're not going to talk about his wife that way.
Yeah, we're gonna keep Will Smith.
But we're going to say that
wife's name out of our mouths.
Will Smith is dating Tupac's girl. And you could tell that she loves Tupac more still.
Oh, yeah.
Anyways, that's a whole other episode.
It's a whole different day. And for now, we're going to tell you guys. So he moved from Maryland to Merriam County, which near Frisco Bay Area. And this was in 1988. And then he started figuring things out. He started, like, hitting the streets right there. And that's where he started getting really street and really hood.
Yeah, just like his grandfather.
Because he was in the ghetto.
Elmer.
Yeah.
Grandpa Elmer.
Grandpa
Uncle Elmer.
Elmer.
Or Uncle Elmer. You know, depending on
Unky Elmer.
What perspective you're looking at.
Yeah. And so, yes, he did go into Merriam County, and he got crazy over there. He started off with Digital Underground as a roadie, okay? He did start off as a roadie, but he was a rapper at the same time.
Not a jabroni,
but a roadie. So he was a dancer. Yeah, he was putting in work. He was a great dancer. He was
Oh, yeah, what videos did he come out as a dancer?
Humpty Dance. Man, Humpty Dance.
It's your chance to Humpty Dance.
Do my
he got the moves from his grandmother, Asada.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Asada Afini Ahamada. And they were all...
Shakur.
They were all great people.
Who was a former member of the Black Liberation Army.
Oh, yes. Kicking butt. Kicking butt, and that is what is up. So, yes, after he became
Shakur's
this
struggle
famous
with Doug
dancer,
addiction. Doug?
Doug
Funny.
Dig Doug?
Tupac.
I like that game. Dig Dug also came out in the 80s.
Tupac definitely had a Nintendo. He had a Sega Genesis.
And he played Dig Dug.
He didn't make it to the Nintendo 64, but he did have it when it first released. He was a Nintendo fan. Tupac Shakur actually loved Mario for the NES.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually well known that he played
known
the Batman
facts.
Game.
Facts, right
Just
there.
For the video game aspect of the Runner and Gunner podcast. Runner and Gunner video game podcast. Yes, Tupac was a Nintendo NES fan.
He was a great fanatic, actually.
And so was Biggie, but that's much later in the episode.
That's after.
Yes.
But yes.
Tupac, he struggled with drug
Tupac.
Addiction. He sat there all day in front of the NES, smoking pot, and playing video games.
Yeah.
Like a dumbass.
Didn't we all? I mean, yeah, like a dumbass.
Aren't we all?
I mean, yeah. But yeah, so he did start off with Digital Underground. And then after they heard him rapping, the first song he ever rapped in was All Around the World is the same song. And that was the first song with Digital Underground. And they allowed him to rap because they knew that Tupac could rap already mm-hmm. because he had displayed his freestyles.
Studying Shakespeare.
And he studied the greatest of them all the greatest poets and the greatest prophets. And so that's where he got everything from his whole skill and his whole way of rhyme schemes and all that good stuff. And yeah, so he did end up finally becoming something after that All Around the World, the same song when he did that first little verse. But I mean, that verse was like the highlight of the track. And everybody was like fast forwarding it to the Tupac part. Let me hear that again. And it's the same old song. And so all around the world. I'm sure you guys, if you haven't
MC
heard that
New
song,
York.
Go look it up. Oh, yeah. He was MC New York.
MC New York.
Before anything.
Yes.
Before he even moved to San Francisco area.
Yeah. So, you know, he started attending poetry readings at the Leila Steinberg Institution. Dude was on it.
He was ready. He was preparing.
He was into the arts.
He was
living up to his name.
He was sharpening his brain. You know, he was keeping his brain sharp.
What about the digital underground?
Yeah, that's what we were talking about, the digital underground. After the digital underground happened, finally, Tupac was ready to cut a solo deal.
Cut that solo deal in 1991, something like that, and came Tupacalypse Now.
That is Tupacalypse Now, yeah.
And then Thug Life.
Thug Life!
And then the Notorious B.I.G. and Junior Mafia.
Yeah.
And then Me Against the World. Yes. All Eyes on Me after that.
All Eyes on Me was the big one.
Let me say
something real quick. That Me Against the World was the first time that someone had ever had the number one album while being incarcerated. And that is a fact.
And having while very large fingers.
Yeah.
Then he put out the posthumous albums. Hold on, the guy was in jail and he had the number one hit album?
He had the number one album while in jail, and that's
the
only time.
He was the first and only?
For one and only. He's the only one ever of all time.
To have a number one hit album.
While locked up.
Listen to that, Lenny.
While locked up.
You think that you're hard? Well, then have a number one hit album. You don't even have albums no more. You just have singles.
And people like.
How about this? Have three number one hit singles while being incarcerated.
And he had people writing to him. As a matter of fact, his favorite actor of all time was a guy named Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey wrote him various letters, and so did John Travolta, surprisingly.
For reals?
Yeah. So did John Travolta, surprisingly.
Wrote, right?
This is true.
Handwritten?
And, handwritten by Jim Carrey, John Travolta, and...
That makes me sick.
They expected Madonna to go visit him while he was incarcerated. He got to take two showers that night. She didn't show up.
11.
But he still did get to take two showers, so that was kind of cool. All
right. He started making movies. He went back to his poetry, Shakespeare knowledge.
To the roots of it all.
To the roots. And started making movies. Became an actor by, you know, starring in little cameo appearances like Nothing But Trouble and, you know, the Digital Underground movie. And Juice.
Juice was a big one. That. Yeah, that was a big one. That was a good one.
Then he was, in Poetic Justice. And
another big one. Janet
Learning.
Jackson. Higher Learning.
The guy did it.
Yeah,
he was the sheriff in Menace to Society.
Oh, man.
And he played the gangsta in Above the Rim.
Yeah, Above the Rim was a big one, too. With Marlon Wayans. That's when him and Marlon Wayans became friends.
And after his death.
Oh, no, wait. In Juice, they became friends.
Three more cameos were released. The ghosts of Tupac continued to reign. He starred in Bullet.
That was for Tupac.
Gridlocked. And the gang-related movies.
Gang-related soundtrack, which also became platinum.
After his death.
Man.
Tupac has been rumored to be spotted around New York still.
I've seen him.
Some say that he's still alive.
I seen him yesterday.
Death was a hoax.
We had breakfast last night.
So that he could live in seclusion. Runner had breakfast with him last night.
I also drank a bottle of Hennessy with him this morning.
So I believe it. Tupac is alive. But before
he lived, he died. He died before he lived.
On the night of September 1996.
Uh-oh, here we go.
Shakur was in Vegas, Nevada to celebrate his business partner, Tracy Danielle Robinson's birthday.
Ooh.
And attended the Bruce Sheldon versus Mike Tyson boxing match.
Oh, man.
With Suge Mother Lovin' Knight.
Yes.
At the MGM Grand.
Big fight.
Afterwards, they started beating each other's face. And you know what happened.
Yep. Some mysterious man stuck his hand outside of a white Cadillac as they were driving on the boulevard where there were so many spectators, and all you heard in the sound was caps being peeled or gunshots, and all you saw was a lot of smoke from the gunshots, and the mysterious car disappeared within the smoke of the gunshots fired that night. Tupac was still alive when the ambulance arrived. They took him to the nearest hospital in Las Vegas, Nevada, where on September 13th, he was pronounced dead.
Yep. About midnight, the white four-door late model Cadillac sedan pulled up to the passenger side and shot Shakur four times. Once in the arm, once in the thigh, and twice through the middle of his chest. With one bullet entering his right lung, shards of bullets went straight into his brain,
piercing his brain.
Shakur's bodyguard, Frank, wasn't even there to help. Is it suspicious? I think so.
And in this particular night, Mr. Shakur usually would wear his bulletproof vest. But for some reason, during this particular event, even though he had the legal right within himself and within the state of Nevada to wear that bulletproof vest, he didn't have it on. Now, would it have made a difference if he did have it on or not? That will always remain a mystery.
Tupac was taking out his girlfriend, Kadada Jones.
Beautiful, beautiful lady.
Kadada Jones says that she kissed him on the cheek one last time and held his big hand in hers and said, "I'll be right behind you with the bodyguard. He's driving me home." Sounds suspicious?
Possibly.
Oh, I think so. Yes, when Shakur was taken to the hospital, he had already bled out and suffocated on his blood. Took him to the intensive care.
The ICU.
And just about afternoon, on September 13th, as Runner had stated earlier, 1996, Shakur left the earth.
Goodbye, Tupac.
The official cause of death was respiratory failure.
And so, on that fateful September 13th, 1996, we sent Tupac off to heaven.
And there he goes.
And he still floats above us, looking down, saying he loves all his fans, and he wants to say he loves everybody for following his music, for listening to his poetry, for watching his movies, and for being awesome and great fans.
Yes, everybody, that is Shakur's death.
That was the scary Tupac Shakur's death.
So also Tupac was shot before that, and he lived.
Yeah.
The man got shot multiple times.
Multiple times.
And he lived in suffering and constant pain, as the bullets were never lodged completely out of his bones, and he lived in pain, in suffering, in excruciating pain. For the last months of his life. Was it months?
Years.
Years.
A couple years.
Pain
yes.
for years.
About a year, 2 years.
What year did he get shot?
I think in 94. So that's about 2 years. Yeah, he got shot first time in 94. So I believe, about 2 years or so, or a little more than 2 years. But yes, it's sad. It's tragic. And it was a dumb ordeal. You know, none of this stuff should happen. But this young man, okay. This is the most tragic part about this young man. I mean, it's all tragic, but he was only 25.
In 1993, Shakur was arrested in Atlanta for shooting two off-duty police officers, brothers Mark and Scott Whitwell. The Atlanta police claimed the shooting occurred after the brothers were almost struck by the car carrying Shakur while they were crossing the street. They argued with the driver, so Shakur pulled up next to them and shot them in the butt and the stomach.
I mean, it was not funny, but it was kind of funny.
Karma?
Shot in the booty. Ow! Did you say ow?
Ouchies.
No, but anyways, he got acquitted for that, though, also, because there was that was a big deal, and he got acquitted for that one.
According to some witnesses, Shakur and his entourage had fired in self-defense as Mark Whitwell shot first.
It was a simple, it was not even a violation. I think the off-duty cops were drunk, too. They were drunk off-duty cops.
Oh, man, really?
Yes.
On November 30th, 1994, while in New York recording verses for a mixtape of Ron G, Shakur was repeatedly distracted by his beeper. Music manager James Jimmy Henchman Rosemond reported offering Shakur $7,000 to stop by the studios in Times Square that same night to record with his client. Shakur was unsure, but agreed. When he got there, to the lobby, three men robbed and beat him at gunpoint.
Dressed in masks. Nobody knew who they were. You couldn't identify them because all they had was two holes in their eyes and one hole in their mouth to breathe. Nobody ever identified them.
When Shakur resisted, he was shot.
And how he resisted was trying to pull a gun out of his belt, which he was holding, which he always carried the strap. So as he was pulling the strap out, he got shot.
The next day, he was tried for a brutal case that you could go ahead and search on the internet.
Yeah. We don't know if it's true or not.
1994, Shakur got shot, tried, and had to pay $25,000 bond. 2 years later, he was dead. As he proclaimed that it was a setup.
By who?
Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, man.
So well, Shakur, from 1994 to 1996, lived in constant suffering.
And constant pain from one of his best friends, who he thought he could trust. And he said that this man set him up. One of his best friends ever. I mean, so he was so upset, hurt, and confused all in one. And plus, he was getting tried. And then he got convicted as well. So all kinds of crazy stuff, which made Tupac Shakur very uneasy. He was never
the
same after this.
Living witnesses to rapper Tupac Shakur's 1996 murder is facing charges for his murder. Earlier today, a grand jury in Nevada handed down this indictment. Dwayne Davis admitted to being in the car that was used in the drive-by shooting in his 2019 tell-all.
You guys heard it there.
So,
there it is.
Will there be justice?
Will it? Yeah. Will it justice be served?
Will there be justice for Pac?
Tupac.
You know, we're not sure.
We're not sure what's going to happen, but this is to be concluded probably not till sometime around 2024.
So everybody out there, happy Halloween. We hope that you're nice and scared.
That was spooky.
We hope that you heard a lot of words like murder and gunshots.
Blood. Guts.
Yes. It's Halloween, everybody. We want you to have a good time. It's Monday morning. Have yourself a sip of your coffee.
Yeah, have yourself a sip.
You have a bowl of rice sitting next to you. Why don't you grab yourself your bowl of rice and start chowing down on some grains?
Yeah, and you know what? We got to go to a quick break, but we want you guys to be prepared because this is not only the first one, but it's not the worst one. They're both just as equally great and amazing. And the crazy thing is the connection between these two deaths are so greatly amazing. But we're going to let you know about that. And there's so much more coming up. We still got the top 10 craziest killers of all time.
Yes,
horror
we
flick
do.
Killers, that is. And we will let you guys know all that and so much more
after these commercial breaks. Everybody out there, it's the Runner and Gunner video game podcast. This Christmas 2023,
Christmas is upon us, everybody.
We are going to tell you very Christmassy stories.
It's going to snow. It's going to be beautiful. There's going to be gifts under the tree. The candles are going to be lit. The chestnuts are going to be burning over the open flame.
The mistletoe is going to be hanging.
And there's going to be a lot of girls hanging out with you.
Christmas, everybody, and we got the very special Christmas episode of the Runner and Gunner podcast, Christmas episodes, as we will tell one story every week for 4 weeks.
And it's like unwrapping your favorite present of all time.
All concluding
that 4 weeks in a row.
With the finale of a gift from us to you.
Yeah, we're going to give you the greatest gifts and the greatest Christmas. So you guys got to stay tuned for it. It's just going to get greater and greater and more giving and loving and family orientated and all that good, warm, lovely stuff. But at the same time, it's going to be awesome.
Yes, everybody. So come join us for Christmas 2023, the Runner and Gunner Video Game Podcast presents to you Christmas Stories.
Hey, man, where's my Christmas tamales?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Runner and Gunner Video Game Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
Halloween
out there?
Special.
We got the scary, very scary special. And we want to let you guys know that this one is a big one. How big? I would say, in closing, about 300 pounds, about 6'5". About
huge
20 cheeseburgers,
300
for dinner.
McDonald's cheeseburgers.
That's a whole lot. So this one is huge, and it's a huge case. Another one that is blown wide open, just like him. No, it was blown wide open, and nobody knew the truth of what actually happened that fateful night.
Yes. So before we get into this.
Cheers, Gunner!
Have a Monday morning crack for you, everybody. It is Monday morning. We're trying to let you have a good time. Yes, it's the Halloween special.
Good Monday morning to everybody.
Hopefully it's not too stupid or it doesn't scare you or, you know, we don't want it to scare you too much. Last week's episode was pretty scary. We're going to try to avoid being too scary, too over the top with the violence.
The sensors got at us at that one. They were kind of mad. Sensors were a little pissed off because there was a report of a lot of wet underwear and a lot of...
Yes, dirty diapers,
car seats
soiled diapers,
and a lot of bad stuff that shouldn't have happened. So we're trying to tone it down just a little bit for you guys. But
yes,
still,
before we get into this, spooky. We want you to go ahead and hit that like button and subscribe to us if you're watching this on YouTube. If you're not, then forget about what I just said.
Yeah, if you're not, then take off your bra. I mean, then just listen up to what's about to happen for y'all.
Just like, you know.
Tupac, what happened with
just
Tupac?
Just like Tupac.
We're going to tell the same tale, but in a different, whole different perspective and whole different...
Because they were like parallels of each other.
Yeah, they were. They were very... Yeah. And actually, they were best friends. That's what we didn't talk about in the first one, is that they actually met up together. Who are we talking about? Tupac, who we just talked about. And now we're talking about Biggie Smalls. Notorious B.I.G.
He loved to party in Los Angeles. Wallace, also known as Biggie Smalls, was shot from a passing vehicle. He had been named Rap Artist of the Year at the Billboard Awards in 1995. He was considered a rival of West Coast rapper Tupac Shakur, who was fatally shot in September in Las Vegas.
See, just months after the occurrence of the last one we talked about, another legend, another great artist.
And they were
artist.
Directly related.
Directly.
Christopher George Latour Wallace was
better known as the Notorious B.I.G.
A.K.A. Biggie Smalls.
Biggie.
He was born at St. Mary's Hospital in New York City. New York City, just like his fellow friend and rival.
New
Tupac.
York City.
I love everything, especially the salsa from New York City. I love everything from New York City. I love even the salsa. And
even
I also
love
the pizza. The carne asada is better in California.
Thank you for giving me that one.
All right, he was born to Jamaican immigrants who didn't know the gang world of New York, who didn't know the sophisticated criminal underground.
So are you saying that they were completely clueless?
Maybe not completely clueless. Maybe they had a hand in... guided him in the wrong direction as his father was a devout politician.
Oh, cool.
Working with the city, he obviously knew something and was allowing his son to go out there.
So he knew a little bit of the crookedness is what you're saying.
Maybe naivety had a little hand in this play.
Possibility of a certain little bit.
Biggie Smalls dropped out of high school at 17 years old.
Why? Kids, don't do that. Stay smart. Stay in school.
He also began rapping. So dropping out, rapping. You know, it happens, kids.
Sometimes hand in hand. Sometimes, but not all the time. The smartest rapper stayed in school and went to college. Yes. I can't name them all by hand right now, but there's some. Maybe one.
Biggie Smalls. He was fat. He liked Cheetos. He had, you know, he had orange lips because he was always eating Cheetos. They called him Lips.
They'd I'm just big boned.
His friends knew him as Orange Lips because he always had Cheeto stains all over his lips.
I and just clothes. Have big dinosaur bones.
He was in and out of jail. He was, you know, deep into crime at a young age. Although he was very smart, he was excelled in English.
Also deep into pizzas at a young age.
Deep dish pizzas, that is. The man grew up in California.
No, New York.
I mean.
Yeah, he grew up in New York. Brooklyn, that is. Brooklyn and Brooklyn, New York.
Did I say California? I meant Brooklyn, New York.
Yeah, he was straight from Bed-Stuy, Bedford-Stuy. You know, shout out to Bedford-Stuy. Shout out to New York. Yeah, we love you guys too. And we hope you guys are listening because the shout outs are for you guys. And yeah, Biggie Smalls, he was just a big old bundle of joy, and he loved to he actually was raised in a church home and a very religious home. His mom was very religious and very, very Catholic. for the Catholicism.
Catholicism.
Catholicy. And she studied Catholicy her whole life. And so what they did was they went to church every freaking weekend, and Biggie was into it. Biggie was part of the choir, actually.
He was a good boy.
He used to wear glasses. He was cool, you know.
They said he had the highest pitched voice of any of the other boys.
And he also had the highest amount of pizza in his belly out of all.
Yeah. The highest cholesterol for a young man.
No.
On August 8th, 1993, Jan Jackson, Wallace's longtime girlfriend, gave birth to his first
son. He got Janet Jackson pregnant? So we're saying that Tupac was in a movie with Janet Jackson.
Jan.
Oh, my bad.
Janet, but just Jan.
Proceed.
The couple parted soon after that, and she raised Chubby's boy the entire rest of her life. He's still alive today.
Biggie Jr.
He's a father. He's got some kids behind.
He's got a boy and a girl, actually, from two different women.
Yes, he began working in the rap world as he busted through.
Wait a minute. I thought he started working at the age of 17, where he actually started working in the pharmaceutical industry, but a street pharmacy, actually. He was a street pharmacist for a little while, and actually he got caught with weapon charges in 1989 in Brooklyn and was sentenced to 5 years probation. But then in 1990, he violated his probation like a dummy. And a year later, Wallace was arrested in North Carolina for dealing crack cocaine. He spent 9 months in jail before finally making bail. Who bailed him out? Tupac.
And
his best friend.
That's what you got to know. Is that when he signed labels, he started blowing up. You know, he started signing labels in like 1991 and continued as climbing the corporate music world ladder until 1993 when he met Puffy Combs.
Puff Daddy.
And he departed from his Uptown Records.
Uptown, downtown.
And, you know, the rest is history.
And then he met up with his label mates, of course, Heavy D and the Boys. Big Heavy D. So, you know, and then they got in a song, A Bunch of Boys. And that song did pretty good. And they celebrated by going to Shakey's. And they had to kick everybody out of the Shakey's. And at the Bunch of Lunch, Heavy D, Biggie Smalls, and the Boys were enjoying the biggest festival of all time.
He was also married to Faith Evans. He hung out with people like Puffy Combs and Busta Rhymes, the Junior Mafia.
Busta Rhymes, cool. So is Junior Mafia.
Shaquille O'Neal was one of his friends.
Oh, Shaq. Oh, they actually made a song together.
Daz Dillinger.
Diggity Daz. He's a West Coast guy, too.
He also hung out with Michael Jackson once, where he quoted, said that, I wouldn't trust Michael Jackson with no kids.
How?
As we know that Michael Jackson is number 13 in the list of most heinous horror movie villains.
I think he did say that, right?
He did. He said that he wouldn't trust Michael Jackson with kids.
Maybe he didn't buy enough cotton candy at his little fairy town, whatever it's called. Neverland. My bad.
Maybe he saw Michael Jackson eating too much cotton candy and got jealous.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he got jealous of the cotton candy machine. Or
but
maybe,
we know.
Maybe he could fit on the elephant's ride and he got pissed.
But we know that Biggie didn't make that horror movie list and Michael Jackson did. So, anyways, that's for a different horror episode.
Yeah, that's a different time. And
next year, we're going to talk about Michael Jackson's death. But this year, we're talking about Biggie.
Biggie Smalls.
He started a feud with Tupac Shakur.
Before that, let's talk about his first big mix, the big song that actually caught everybody's ear and eye and attention, which was Real Love. Real Love by Mary J. Blige, which is already a great song. And so he was in the remix version of Real Love. If you look it up, it's a pretty dang good song. So that's how he actually started. And then he made a song called Party and BS, which was on the Who's the Man soundtrack, the movie. In 1994, he appeared with LL Cool J and Craig Max, Flavor in Your Ear. Flavor in Your Ear was pretty cool. It reached number 9. But this is Real Love, Mary J. Blige.
It sucks. Everybody out there, we just want you to take a sip. Rewind, it's a Monday morning. We're going a little overtime right now.
And unwind.
But don't worry, we're going to get to that top 10 horror movie villain list.
We know you guys are anticipating it, but we got to finish talking about this Biggie Small stuff because this is a big deal. And it's so insane how him and Tupac had so much in common, yet they died such a similar way and fashion.
Yes, so 1996, Biggie was arrested a lot and lots of accusations and lots of, you know, arrests and
He was
criminal charges.
Yeah, criminal stuff too. Same stuff.
Including, you know, something about him having to do with Shakur's murder.
Murder, Shakur.
FBI
was actually looking after him. The Fibs.
They were also looking after Shakur.
Shakur.
They were putting microphones in every food item that Biggie had.
Yeah. And
He had many.
And mysteriously, they all disappeared. Nobody knows.
Nobody knows, except for the bees. The FBs say that the last sound they heard was crying. On March 8th, 1997, Wallace attended the Soul Train Awards.
Soul Train.
After party hosted by Vibe, the, you know, magazine.
Ooh, man. Yeah, they were big back then, Vibe. Vibe was where it's at.
Guests included Evans, Faith, Aaliyah, the Bloods and the Crips, the real ones, the gangs were there.
Oh, you want to know a crazy side story? Let me tell this story real quick.
All right.
I heard a story from Shaquille O'Neal himself, and Biggie Smalls had just called Shaq and personally wanted to invite him there, and Shaq was like, all right, I'm going to go. So what did Shaq do? Laid his head down, took a nap, slept through it all, and when he woke up, he found out the horrible horror of the reality that happened that night.
Wow. So, you know, the Angels
put... And that's a true story from Shaquille O'Neal himself. Shout out to Shaq.
The Angels put Shaquille O'Neal to sleep.
Yeah, they did. And luckily he wasn't there because he said he might have been by his side.
Because they're very close friends, you know. Big and tall. I mean, big and fat. I mean, tall and fat. Laurel and Hardy. It just, you know...
Moo-moos?
It just attracts each other. So at, you know, just about midnight, the after party was closed down due to overcrowding. It must have been huge. Keanu Reeves must have been there.
Keanu Reeves was there.
Johnny Depp was definitely there.
Johnny there was having white rings around his nose because he was eating a lot of donuts. Powdered donuts. Powdered sugar. Anyway, so there was a lot.
Wallace left with his entourage and... He left with his associates Damien Butler and Little Cease. The driver Gregory was also there.
What's up, Gregory?
Combs, P. Diddy, Puff Daddy, what's his name now? Pee Pee. He traveled in the other vehicle with two bodyguards. Two trucks were trailed.
Diddy Pee Pee?
By a Chevrolet Blazer.
So is it true that he stopped to do a pee pee?
Carrying the bad boy director, Paul Orff.
Oh, no.
The streets were crowded. Red light district. automotive empire.
Yeah.
A black Chevy Impala.
Impala.
Not that same Chevy Blazer with Paul Orford, but a new Chevy. A dark Chevy. A blacked out Chevy with dark tinted windows.
Yep.
Pulled alongside Big Boy's truck.
Big Boy.
The Impala then lowered its window.
An arm stuck out.
An arm, a African arm.
African American arm stuck out.
In a blue suit with blue gloves.
And a bow tie.
A bow tie that was also blue.
Don't forget about that Chippendales bow tie. He just left the shift.
A white button-up shirt with the cufflinks. The gold cufflinks. That's all they remember is the gold blue cufflinks.
And the cufflinks.
All right. We got it. Someone pulled up to his car. And stuck out their hand with blue gloves in a blue suit.
And a lovely bow tie. Straight from JCPenney. $15.99 at the time.
And gloves straight from TJ Maxx.
$10.99.
Also sponsored by TJ Maxx.
And JCPenney.
He stuck out his hand, and lo and behold, he was carrying a 9mm.
9mm.
Gun.
That's terrible. It's terrible.
Stuck it. Out the window, pointed it at Big Boy's belly, and fired. Four shots hit Biggie, just like the four shots that hit Tupac. Four for four, blood for blood.
Wow. And then what happened after that?
Bang, 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 smack. Every single one of them smacked. He was an easy target. Smack, 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 smack. Four smacks. All straight into his body. His friends rushed him to Cedar Sinai, the old age home.
Yeah.
The Cedar medical Sinai, center. These guys were playing around.
The big one, but.
The doctors, they performed an emergency thoracotomy.
They had to get a forklift to raise him on the gurney.
But he was pronounced dead by 1:15 a.m.
Rest in peace, Biggie Smalls. New York, Brooklyn. We love you guys.
He was 24 years old.
On a brighter note, on October 29th of that same year, 1996, his then wife, Faith Evans, gave birth to Wallace's son, Christopher C.J. Wallace Jr. So what's up, C.J.?
What's up, peace. C.J.? Hopefully you're listening to the show, the Runner and Gunner podcast. Hopefully this show's getting out to
Just
you.
Just know that we love Biggie. We love Tupac. We love everybody who loves them too, and especially we love you guys for listening to the Runner Gunner podcast.
So his autopsy, which was released 15 years later.
Why 15 years?
Wait, I'll tell you why.
Why did it take so damn?
Because that's when Michael Jackson died. You see what I mean? Everybody knows that's a conspiracy. You can look it up on YouTube. Am I making it up? Perhaps, but you could still search it for YouTube. Maybe the Zuck will get wind of it, and he'll make some rumors about Michael Jacko and Biggie Smalls.
And it showed that only the final shot
was fatal.
It entered through his right hip and struck his booty, liver, heart, left lung, before stopping in his left shoulder.
It ripped from the bottom to the top all the way through.
Wow.
Ripping him solid in half.
Those tumbling rounds, man. Those, oof.
The tumbling rounds.
It was just one tumbling. All it took was one, but he got hit several times before that. Then that final shot was the one that
ripped
sent him
through the entirety of
where
the body.
He is now. Looking down on us from heaven.
Looking up from us. Looking up at us.
Yeah, looking up at us right now.
Wallace's funeral was held at the Frank E. Campbell Funeral Chapel in Manhattan. On March 18th, 1997. There were about 300 people. Including Little C's Queen.
Latifah.
Oh, Queen Latifah, not Freddie Mercury. Mace. Evans. SWV.
SWV.
And SUV.
SUV.
Jay-Z.
Jay-Z and SUV, man.
Jay-Z, SUV, and WSV were all there. Alongside and Damon Dash.
And DJ P.
Charlie B.
Charlie B.
Da Brat.
DB.
Who's pretty sexy. Oh, she was.
Flavor Free. Oh, Flavor Flav. Flavor
Flav. Flavor Flav.
Flavor Flav. He brought all the flavor to the funeral. Where's the crack at?
Mary J. Blige was there. Lil' Kim. Run DMC.
Run DMC. DJ Busta Cool Rhymes. Herc, man. He's one of the originators of hip-hop. Shout out DJ Herc.
Foxy Brown. Spinderella. Salt and Pepper. Left Eye was there. Left Eye. Left
Eye died. DJ Spinderella.
DJ Sister Spindy.
Soulja.
It was a great place, everybody, for everybody to gather.
And David Duncan from Dunkin' Donuts.
And remember,
he bought a lot of donuts.
Remember Chubby and the songs that he gave and the things that he did. He did a lot of things.
Clyde Davis went. Isn't that a trip? Clyde Davis, old man Clyde Davis went. Right on.
But let me tell you, everybody.
Respects.
When Biggie sampled this song and played it on a loop, and sang his poetry over it.
Oh, yeah.
His English was spot on.
Spot on perfect.
And the world gravitated to it.
Everybody loved it. And this was after. This song was released right after his death. This shot all the way up to number one. So let's have a little silence. Quick little silence for Biggie Smalls. Notorious B.I.G.
Biggie played Sega Genesis. He had a Sega Genesis.
He did. You're right.
His mama, his Jamaican mama, bought him a Sega Genesis when he was a kid. And he said he liked Sonic the Hedgehog. And he also liked the Batman game for Sega.
He loved the Batman game. He also played Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat.
Yes, he loved Mortal Kombat. In fact, he was obsessed with it. And when he wasn't selling guns, you could find him on his Sega Genesis and the big screen TV.
Mortal Kombat.
Doing fatalities on Mortal Kombat.
Also, NBA Jams was one of his favorite top three games, too.
Yeah.
So he was getting down on some good games back then.
And also, he did buy a Nintendo 64. Unfortunately, he wasn't too... Well, he wasn't around... Well, he
long
was.
Enough. Yeah, he played it. He did.
He said his favorite game was WWF No Mercy.
And Beavis and Butthead.
And Beavis and Butthead for Nintendo... Wait a minute, Beavis and Butthead's not for Nintendo 64. Yes. So yes, there it is.
There it is, everybody.
Biggie Smalls, who also had hits after his death, much like Tupac. Many. It was like blood for blood. It was even. It was even for even.
It was evened out. And the saddest thing is, throughout all this, we lost the two greatest rappers of all time. In some people's opinion, not in everybody's, but in some people's opinion, we might have lost the two greatest
rappers.
We'd
like to ask the audience.
Of all time.
What would have happened? What would happen? What would life be like today?
If
Biggie Smalls
and
Tupac Shakur
were
still alive. What would the music industry look like? What would sound different?
Would it be different? Would the artists who are on top right now still be on top? Till this day.
How many more hits would Biggie and Tupac have had?
What if they would have just made up and collaborated and created a whole album together?
What if they would have just fizzled out and ushered in a new class of rappers that they inspired personally?
And they produced them and they, you know, created all their whole new genre. And the genre is something different that we don't even know of today.
And then we might have not have the crap that we hear today.
Yeah.
That sells, but it has no substance.
It doesn't. But I mean, these kids like it, so whatever you like is okay.
Kids will like what the Runner and Gunner podcast tell them to like.
And we will tell them to like only greatness.
Only greatness. So there you have it, everybody. Big boy.
Big boy is gone.
Deceased.
Tupac gone.
Murdered and murdered.
And yeah.
One blue hand comes out the Chevy, the Impala.
Pop, cap.
Only one bullet makes it.
Tupac got shot several times
by Biggie. Hunted down numerous times by Biggie.
Numerous times.
Tupac couldn't even live a normal life. He had to live in constant fear, constant pain, constantly looking over his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And Biggie was the aggressor, constantly killing, constantly bullying, constantly cheeseburgers.
Pizzas. Ravioli.
But the real tragedy belongs to his
carne
sons.
Asada.
The Sons of Biggie, which he left behind.
Sons of Biggie, yeah. What's up, Sons of Biggie? Cool.
It's a tragedy
when
a man dies, but it's
Mr.
a tragedy
Wallace Jr.
when two boys have to live there and afterward.
And it's all...
Happy Halloween, everybody!
Happy Halloween!
Happy Halloween!
And we hope you enjoy these Runner and Gunner Halloween tales. And don't forget, we're not done yet. We still got plenty for you coming. So stay tuned all October.
Stay tuned all October, everybody. We got to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about
the top 10
politics.
Oh,
we're
going
to be talking about
Trump
vegan recipes.
Yeah.
And a lot of Trump versus Biden.
All that.
And a whole lot more
after these commercial breaks. Break it down.
Happy Halloween. Deep down in the caves of Transylvania, Dracula, King Dracula, Count Dracula, is thinking of some very special things to do for this Halloween. And what is he going to give out for candies this Halloween 2023? Well, let's ask him ourselves. Dracula?
All I have is these Reese's.
And can you give the ladies some Reese's?
Here you go, ladies. I want to suck your cups.
This Halloween, get yourself a big bag of Reese's Peanut Butter Cups for half off when you shop for 2 for 1. Everybody out there, trick or treat. What's up, everybody?
Welcome back, everybody, and we are here at, rest in peace to Tupac and Biggie.
Rest in
peace. The super special edition, Halloween edition of the Runner and Gunner podcast.
Runner and Gunner.
So now, we got to get into one of the most important parts that we were talking about from the beginning. If you stuck with us, you guys know what it is. The list.
The list. And what are we talking about? What list?
10.
Well, we're talking about
horror.
The top 10 horror.
Or also known as top 10 killers.
The top 10 OJs. 10 OJs for
There's
every 10
OJs 10. For every day. So let's get into this.
No! Oh, man.
So run and hide. If you see the guys we are about to bring up, you better run, hide, find a hiding spot, duck underneath the bushes, jump into the
cabinet. Let's say that you're out in your patio, your kids are on the swing, and over the hedges, you see a giant forehead.
What are you going to do?
And it's OJ.
Oh, man.
And you see that forehead around the corner and cross through and push open your gate. And come in your backyard. And mind you, you're blonde and you're a woman. You better freaking run.
Run, duck, hide. Cause he's coming. And he's hungry for pretty blonde girls.
We're just saying, if you went and you took all Friday the 13th movies.
Yes, yes.
And you replaced Jason. Maybe you could do it with AI nowadays. If you replace Jason with O.J. Simpson, they would still be spectacular movies.
They'd be great movies right now.
They would be. All right.
So here's the list. Ready, everybody? At number 10.
Number 10.
We have got... One of the greatest, scariest science fictional characters as well.
Yes, one of the greatest sci-fi movies ever made was also a horror movie.
And he got a girl pregnant in the movie. So, I mean, what the heck was going on with that?
He got Sigourney Weaver pregnant.
And it's called Aliens. Alien.
Number 10, everybody, is Alien with Sigourney Weaver and the guy from Mad About You, Paul Reiser.
Paul Reiser is in there. Not to be confused.
Oh, wait, or was he in part 2?
Wait, what? I was thinking about the beer, Paul Wesson Paul or something.
I was thinking about Paul McCartney's solo career in the 80s.
I was thinking about Paul Mall.
I was thinking about Paul Bart, Mall Cop.
Me too.
Yes, yeah. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Alien.
We're talking about a guy on a scooter.
The big black skeleton thing with the long head and slime that bleeds through metal.
Big old tail and chases long, ugly arms.
Air conditioning vents and has eggs that fungus. Split open and have babies in the end of the movie. We're talking about that thing. Alien, the very first
very
one.
Ugly.
The very first
super
one in
ugly.
1970, whatever.
70-something, and man, was it
movie.
Scary.
What a good movie.
It was a great movie, and as a matter of fact, there's another great movie and another great villain that we're going to talk about this movie.
Wait, are we doing number 9?
We are getting to number 9 right now. And number 9 lives way, way down under, deep below, where you cannot find him. And he comes up only at certain times. He rises when he sees your body, and he sees you trying to get somewhere, you know, trying to maybe swim.
Yes, everybody. In 1975, Steven Spielberg released a magnificent horror movie that made everybody stay out of the water for years to come.
So scared of the ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, the Indian Ocean, the Jamaican Ocean, the Red Sea, the Black Sea,
the Blue Sea,
the Green Sea, the Sea Sea.
Jaws, everybody. Jaws. 1975, Jaws. Is number 9 in our list of most scary horror movie villains.
Where floaties can't save you. Where nothing can save you. Boats can't save you. Engines can't save you. Nothing can save you from the great white Jaws.
Yes. All right. Number 9 is Jaws. Jaws. All right, let's move on to number 8.
Number 8, everybody. Number 8 is the
Ghost. He killed Drew Barrymore. What other horror movie villain killed
Drew Barrymore? She answered the phone one day. She was just trying to cook up some popcorn and just see what's popping for tonight, trying to throw in a horror flick in her VCR, because that's how old this is, VHS, everybody. So she was trying to watch some VHS movie while cooking popcorn, and then her phone rang. It sounded something like this.
Hello?
Why don't you want to talk to me?
Who is this?
You tell me your name, I'll tell you mine.
I don't think so.
What's that noise?
Popcorn.
You making popcorn?
Uh-huh.
I only eat popcorn at the movies.
Well, I'm getting ready to watch a video.
Really? What?
I'll do some scary movie.
You like scary movies?
Uh-huh.
What's your favorite scary movie?
And that line made
history.
That movie.
Movie history.
Famous.
Yes, there it is. What's your favorite scary movie? Well, you tell me it's King Randy Savage or is it Jaws Part 5? Everybody, number 8, Ghostface Killer.
From the Scream
Ghostface,
movie.
Whether it was her, Sydney's boyfriend or Drew Barrymore's boyfriend, Sydney. Whoever wore the mask and stabbed was
the
Ghostface.
So it was crazy. It was a good concept, good movie. You know, overall, he's very scary.
Everybody, now we are on to number 7.
Number 7, everybody.
And it's not 7 with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman and Kevin Spacey.
Ooh, that's scary too.
Nope, but instead it is a pin cushion man with a pin cushion face. And his friends at school used to say, "Your mama's so ugly that she puts pin cushions in your head."
But what if he was just trying to get relax and rejuvenation? Like they do in the Asian culture. They put pins all over the place, in their face, in their backs, in their necks, and in their butts.
Everybody, number 7 is Hellraiser, 1987.
Also known as Pinhead.
Also known as Pinhead. He is the scary movie villain.
He's crazy.
He's pretty scary. It was pretty violent.
He controls some kind of weird little box, and then they have to unlock. If you unlock this box, he comes to life, and he could just take you into this kind of coffin thing and just take you to a whole nother realm.
Yeah,
and
you
that's
know,
what he does.
So, you know, Hellraiser, he would hypnotize you.
Yes.
You would turn into a monster, and then he put, like, some kind of tool implanted in your skin with blood and veins and everything. And
with
you
pins,
and
pins.
He would make you use that tool to kill innocent people. So, like, for instance, he one time he made these two twin cops and he gave them like drills for heads. I can't remember if this is the first one or the third one, whatever.
It's one of them, yeah.
But they would stand on the side of an innocent person and then they would drill their heads together, which would kill the person.
That is scary stuff.
Part one had some definitely crazy kills. It was all about the kills. He would make monsters and they would kill. And it was like always very creative and the deaths. Yeah, the very good, Clive Barker.
Creative. Yeah, you're right. The creative deaths were very good.
Yeah.
Very violent too.
Very violent. Very especially gory. For the 80s.
Yeah, it was very gory back then. So they're doing a good job with that. So
yes, number Pinhead. 7, everybody, is Pinhead.
All right.
All right, we're on to number six. And it is your favorite movie, everybody, your favorite franchise that's even being created today.
Of all time. I mean, what do they got, like number 25 or something?
Yeah, I think of this Saw one? 25 now.
It's coming out.
Oh, I gave it away. It is Jigsaw. Number 7, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw.
He killed Robin Hood, everybody.
From the original one.
Robin Hood, Men in Tights, of course.
Men in Tights, yeah.
He killed the Princess Bride, everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
He also killed Chester from Linkin Park.
Chester from Linkin Park. Oh,
Chester,
man.
Chester the booty molester.
Oh, God. No way. Don't do it.
I mean, he hung himself for some reason, right?
The booty Bennett.
Jigsaw, everybody. He's number 6 on our list of number top 10 horror movies.
And then, wait a minute. We had a little debate between number 5 coming up. But first, let's talk about number 6 again. Number 6 did make you chop off your legs and wear weird masks. And then the masks would somehow collapse. And he would make you do all these weird obstacles and stuff. And you'd have to do some kind of unraveling puzzles. All this madness.
And to escape.
Yeah. And if you didn't escape, guess what?
You died.
You don't live.
You got gassed. You got bear clawed.
So that's...
bear trapped. You got your head bear trapped. You got burned. Something.
Jigsaw.
I did kind of like part 2. It was pretty interesting. It was like
a good one.
The haunted house.
There's so many of them. I mean, there's...
Oh, that part where they throw the bum, they throw him in the furnace to get the key, and then locks, and they have to all listen to him die.
Yeah, well...
That was pretty crazy.
Deep fried bum probably smelled pretty funky. Anyway, so now we're going on to number five, which we had the controversy because we had a tie. The first ever. You guys are witnessing history, everybody, in Runner Gunland. You guys are witnessing the first time ever a tie at number 5. So we got...
Chucky.
Mr. Chucky.
Child's Play.
From Child's Play. Let's talk about Child's Play first before we go into the second guy.
1988, a year after Pinhead, a year after Hellraiser, Chucky came out. And it was about a little demon doll who came from the supermarket.
Scared
from
the heck out of the children.
Toys R Us. It scared me. I was scared for life.
I was scared too.
I was 2 years old when this thing came out. And I wouldn't go to the bathroom and shut the door because I thought Chucky would be standing behind the door as soon as I closed it. So for like that whole year, I went to the bathroom with the door open until my mom said, "You better close the door. Don't nobody want to see that."
Yeah, me
you
too.
You better be a man.
I stuck my wang out with the light on, and my mom came and smacked me upside my head, and I finally closed the door, but I had to get super duper bright lights in there, like, you know, night lights, and I had to make sure that I was super secure because I was scared myself.
Yeah, Chucky, which is called Child's Play. They also made Chucky 2,
Hi, I'm Chucky, wanna
Chucky
play?
3, Chucky Bride, Chucky Sons.
And so with Chucky TV simply channel. Is, it's very easily what happens is that he is into some kind of voodoo. The guy is an escaped psychopathic murderer. And then all these psychopathic different murderers, I believe, get into these Chuckies. I don't know if it's the same Chucky guy every time.
Charles
but I know,
Lee Ray.
Yeah, Charles Lee Ray was the guy. You're right. Yep. Charles Lee Ray. And he did some kind of voodoo spell on a doll. And it so happened.
Natsu Blato.
And it so happened that this mom picked the wrong doll, gave it to her child, and this doll was cursed with
was the
mom
soul from Seventh
of
Heaven.
Charles Lee Ray.
Yes. So the mom from Seventh Heaven gave Andy the demon doll. Mm. And then after it scared
Not
her.
Not to keep confused with Andy from Toy Story.
Everybody, on a side note, I know a girl who said that for years she played with the demon doll herself personally. Looked her in the eyes, and she looked pretty psychotic, so I kind of believed her.
She needs to stop wiggling her fingers.
She said that her family got it from Mexico. They tried to get rid of the doll.
Wow.
And it came back. They sent the doll to Mexico, and it came back. She said recently
Wait
that
a minute.
She
so are
found
you saying
the doll.
That this is an alien doll? So is it an illegal alien doll?
She said that she had a doll that would move and walk at night. And it would talk to her at night, and it would come in from the bedroom. It would come into her bed.
Is the origin from Mexico?
And her parents would say, dolls don't walk, and dolls don't talk. Wow. So it was scaring the crap out of the parents.
Yes.
So they tried to destroy the doll, and it would always come back intact and be sleeping next to the little girl. Everybody, I don't know. I know my dad, who's from Mexico, has some crazy stories about demon dolls. If you got any demon doll stories out there, why don't you go ahead and
share them with us.
Share them with us at the Runner and Gunner Show.
You guys know where to go.
All right, everybody, on to the
Instagram,
next.
We got Instacart.
We're on to the second half
of number five. Because there number is a tie.
Four.
Okay, let's go on to number four.
Oh, yeah, number five. Wait a minute. O.J. Simpson.
Wait a minute. It was Slash. It was Chucky OJ Slash O.J.
That so, number. And so now number five is not
so
Chucky.
So wait a minute. Let's transformate the whole story. The whole story now goes that O.J. Simpson's soul went into Chucky doll, and then some lady bought the juice doll, and
the pull string juice doll.
The story tells the rest.
And then you pull the string, and he goes, "I didn't do it.
I didn't do it. I got away with it too."
And you pull it again, and goes, "Where's Johnny Cochran?" And so now, number five belongs to O.J. Simpson. He slashed the competition.
Yeah, you're always dicing things up.
Diced his way into number five place. It is no longer Chucky, but it is O.J.
Simpson. So remember, get your vitamin C every morning, kids.
Number four, everybody. We got a guy from the 70s.
He's
got a new video game out right now.
No, he sure does.
His name is?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Mick Foley. Leatherface. Leatherface from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
The original. We're talking about 1978. We're not talking about any new updated Leatherface.
1974.
Oh, 74. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. See, that's how scary it was. And that movie was banned worldwide in different areas, including the United States of America,
and
for
get
a while.
This, it was banned for so long that the sequel part two didn't come out until 1986.
Wow.
12
See,
years
that's
later.
That's how scary this is. And the craziest, scariest part is it's a true story.
He's well placed right there at number four because Leatherface truly did start the whole slasher movie
horror
genre.
And what he would do is
before Jason,
scare the crap out of everybody.
He was before Chucky, far before Chucky.
Mm-hmm.
Far before Hellraiser, Pinhead.
And just a little bit before...
maybe Michael Jackson as a kid was just as scary, but...
He's a little bit before number three, but we're going to talk about number three right now. But first, let's tell how Leatherface did everything with his chainsaw and what did he do with those hooks?
So what happened was Undertaker threw him off the top of the Hell in the Cell.
Oh, okay.
And when he came to, he said, "I have murder on the mind and I'm going to Texas."
Dang you, Undertaker.
Dang you, Paul Bearer and Undertaker from WWF.
It was Paul Bearer with that stupid ashes.
Yes, number four, everybody, Leatherface.
Face.
Go ahead and play the game. It was the game of last month.
It's a great game, though. Actually, it's still great. It's still out there. It's still new, and there's so many players out there. Get into it. Play that game.
Yes,
all right,
everybody.
So now we got...
So before we get into the top three...
Oh, yeah.
We got the beer of the month.
Oh, we do.
It is a Brewery X beer.
Brewery X.
But it is a German-style...
German-style...
Fresh beer jar. It is a
Bavarian-style...
Fresh beer lager.
Fresh beer lager.
5.8%.
Yeah, just enough to keep you really happy. And guess what? It's only available during October, for Oktoberfest.
Yes, and anywhere in California, you know, just go get some Brewery X. They're Anaheim-based, but this is German style, and so you know
so
we
it's a special
love
edition.
German beers.
So yeah, they did copy pretty much the German. They got it straight
for
from
European
the
friends.
German. They got it. The recipe was flown over all the way from Bavaria straight into Brewery X.
Yes.
And they unfolded the scroll and said, "I must copy this recipe for my great-grandpappy."
But they didn't know how to read it, so they got Frodo the Hobbit to come
Frodo.
Translate in Braille.
Frodo, come on in.
And then that's when they got the fresh beer recipe.
And Frodo gets 1.2% profit for
everything. Yes.
Beer
once again,
drink.
The beer of the
beer
month.
Beer of the month again.
Brewery X.
Brewery X.
Fresh
beer.
Jaw. Go ahead
Bavarian
and get it
style, that
at
is.
Your local grocery outlets.
It is amazing.
All right, on to the top three.
Number three, everybody. Oh, yeah. You
Starting
know what time
with number
it is.
Three.
You guys know.
We got the very special killer who just made a movie with Jamie Lee Curtis
the
last 2 years in a row. Michael Myers. Jackson. Not Austin Powers Michael Myers, but the murder.
Groovy, baby.
Yes, everybody.
Yes, he's crazy. So everybody knows the story of this guy. He's just a big old psychopath.
1978, Jamie Lee Curtis ran for her life and made movie history.
Oh, yeah, she did.
As...
You say booby history?
No, that wasn't until the Eddie Murphy movie.
Oh, you said movie. Trading Places. Sorry about that. Movie history. Yeah,
yes,
you're right.
Movie history.
Yes, she did.
Everybody out there, go ahead and watch the 1978 film. Go ahead and watch the new one with Anthony Michael Hall, which is great.
Yeah,
the very last
great.
One, it's good. But that one before is really good. Halloween ends.
Halloween ends and Halloween kills.
Halloween kills
was really good.
Great, great horror movie.
Oh, man. And you're in for a surprise if you watch it. You got to watch it all the way to the end. You can't just watch it halfway. You can't just watch it, you know, one quarter of the way. You got to watch the full ending because it's amazing. Trust us, the ending is going to satisfy your every killing, chilling,
horror movie bone
needs.
Number two, everybody.
Number two.
As if it was taking a number two.
You guys already know.
This movie scared the life out of me. I mean, scared the living daylights out of me when I was a kid.
All of them. I mean, they're all scary because who could imagine somebody that can get at you at your most vulnerable position in life?
Yeah, when you're sleeping.
When you're sleeping.
Freddy Krueger, so everybody. From Nightmare on Elm Street, Dream Warriors. That's Nightmare on Elm Street, Part 3.
Freddy Krueger, the most scariest, craziest, second most. And he could get to you when you're sleeping. He could psychologically mess up your mind when you're awake because what you want to do when you're not sleeping is stay awake forever and ever. He will force you to do prescription drugs. Cocaine.
Jump out the building. Split your wrists.
Yeah. Yeah, just go mad. Pretty much just go mad. He'll drive you to madness or he will kill you in your dreams. So you only got one or two options. Drive yourself mad or get murdered in your dreams.
Yes. And so as a kid, you know, you love to sleep because you're growing. So this is a perfect movie to scare little kids.
Oh, yes.
Freddy Krueger, Dream Warriors.
Anybody from the
Patricia
age
Arquette,
of
1987.
About 2 to 15 to maybe even 22 to 52. I mean, it depends. Everybody has a different scare rate. But at the same time, if you want to get the little kids really creeped out at night and they won't even want to sleep anymore, show them number two, which is Freddy Krueger.
Dream Warriors. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. Patricia Arquette's in it. She's young. She's beautiful.
Pretty.
And she's getting scared out of her wits in movie.
Screaming everybody, like crazy.
The giant worm that comes
doing
out of the wall.
Oh, yeah.
Like the demonic skin writings on the dreams. Her dreams are all
and
the
hey,
dreams.
They did a heck of a job on that, too.
Man, that
they
directing
did a heck
was
of a job.
So good.
Heck of a job, yeah. Shouts out to Mr. Wes Craven himself.
It wasn't Wes Craven. It was a new director.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, no.
Cool, whoever did that.
But Robert Englund was still in it.
Robert Englund was in it. A lot of the original, well, not really. Just Robert Englund. But, yeah, that's a great movie.
Yeah, it was great. You know, it was directed by Chuck Russell.
Chuck Russell.
Guy named Chuck Russell. They use
Mr.
a lot of
Chuck.
Trick photography.
It had to be
and
Chuck.
Reversing. Like, they ate the girl with the snake, but then they filmed it in reverse. So when they put it in reverse, it looked like it was eating her. Frightening visuals, you know?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Weird, manipulated
really
stuff.
Really cool stuff. Really cool. Really cool graphics, stuff that hasn't even been thought of or used back then. So, you know, they experimented, and I got to say myself, experiment successful. Great movie. Number two, we
number
got Freddy Krueger. But now,
Freddy Krueger.
On to the top winner of the whole list.
I think you know who it is, everybody.
You guys got to know who's the most craziest horror villain. Number one horror villain coming, people.
Jason.
In movies. Jason.
And not Jason and the Argonauts, even though he killed Medusa.
He sure did.
Jason Voorhees.
Jason Voorhees. The kid, little kid got drowned back in 1978 about 78 or 79. He got drowned. He got murdered. The counselors were not paying attention.
1980.
The counselors weren't paying attention.
And they took off their tops.
He was a little boy. They took off their tops and
then they drowned him.
Yeah.
And they said, ha ha, your head's weird. And they pushed him into the water.
Because he looked weird.
The hot girl, too. The hot girl kicked his fingers off the dock.
You see, when they're hot, that doesn't mean they're nice all the time. So Just watch out for the hot ones.
So they kicked this little weird-headed kid's fingers off the dock, and he fell into the water and drowned.
He had deformities, but you don't pick on people for their deformities. You look at their insides only. And that was a lesson to everybody. So the lesson was...
But they were at a camp where it was secluded. There wasn't too many people. There was no one to save him.
Yes.
He drowned.
And he did drown, and he never returned. Until...
He did.
Part one, it was his mom that was killing everybody. Okay?
That's right.
They killed his mom in part one. And everybody was happy. Nobody ever figured part two's going to come out. Like, what are they going to do now? The killer's dead. No, everybody.
No, everybody.
The son.
Jason.
Wakes up from...
The pool.
Below the lake. Wakes up. He says, Mother, what do I have to do? And he's not even a kid anymore. He's a grown man. Because he wakes up 10 years later, bigger, stronger. Nobody can stop him. He's a killing machine.
Yep.
And in the first one, he had a sack on his head with only one eyeball.
Yep.
And they still couldn't stop this guy.
They couldn't stop him.
Then in the third one,
the hockey mask comes.
The hockey mask comes into play.
And so does Teddy from Stand By Me, also known as Corey Feldman.
Corey Feldman's in part three, yeah. So, and so does, what's the guy's name? Tommy. Tommy's in part three, too.
If you ever played the game, Friday the 13th, the game, you know all about Tommy.
You know who Tommy is, because he gets resurrected every single match.
All right, everybody, there you have it. The top 10 movie horror villains. We hope you enjoyed the list. If you have a different list, how about you send us your list to us? What do you think? What do you think the top three horror movie villains are? We have Michael Myers, Freddy Krueger, and Jason.
You could actually
put those in any order. They're still going to be the top three.
Yeah, you could rearrange them, and yeah, they're still
Freddy
pretty much...
Freddy is number one, Jason number two, Michael Myers number three. Boom.
Michael Myers number one, Jason number two, Freddy number three.
Boom.
So everything, it all matches up, mix match, and it's all going to come out to the same result. Awesomeness.
Yes. All right, everybody. All right. So we got to end the show. But before we do, we're going to get to your favorite part of the show.
What?
Yes. We're doing it already.
Mine?
Ours.
Yours?
Yes.
You? Me?
Me.
Yes. Yeah, it's the best part of the show and the greatest part of the show.
The greatest part of the show
we love to call
the... Two-Minute Rundown!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the greatest rundown of all time in your life. And now, what's going on in the Major League Baseball playoffs? Yes, the Dodgers are in it. Yes, they lost game one, but don't worry. No need to worry, because tonight they are going to prevail. I guarantee they're going to prevail tonight. And football, the NFL, things are still going on. There's only a couple of teams left that are still undefeated. The 49ers did beat the Dallas Cowboys last night. The Raiders are playing tonight on Monday Night Football, so stay tuned into that. We will beat the Green Bay Packers tonight. There's so much stuff going on. Playoffs are bound, and basketball is only around the corner.
That's right, everybody. It is awesome. I'm down for everything that runner is saying right now. Even though I don't even watch sports, I want the Dodgers to win. Especially ever since they got rid of Arias.
Oh, yeah. The beater.
The beater. What about Trevor Bauer being in hot water, too? I don't know. Everybody out there?
He beat two.
We don't want any beaters in the Dodgers. We want to win some championships. Everybody out there, we want you to have a great Monday.
We ain't afraid of no D-backs. Let's go.
We want you to have a great Halloween. Go to your local Halloween haunted house.
There's so many around there.
So many.
There's so many haunted houses going on already. Get your Halloween stuff up. Get your pumpkins.
It's Halloween, Carl everybody.
In. You know, get all your scary stuff and put it up.
Yes.
And make sure that you put lots of blood and gory junk out there. Celebrate.
Make your
ready.
Vegan cocoa cupcakes. Cupcakes, yeah. Brownies,
vegan free,
candy corn.
You guys are always listening to the greatest gluten free podcast in the universe.
Remember, everybody, we are the greatest podcast on earth. How come we could say that? Well, does any other podcast you know play Ray Parker Jr.?
Ray Parker Jr.
Ghostbusters? Does any other podcast have commercial free entertainment?
Yeah.
Does any other podcast give you an original top 10 list? Not biased or not influenced by any social media?
Yeah, and no.
Does any other podcast have an original mind, which is so original that you can't even comprehend the things that we're saying to you, even though we read them from doctors and psychologists and present them to you as informative bits of entertainment?
Yes, maybe no. Yes,
I
no.
think not, I everybody.
Know. All I know is I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Nor am I, everybody. Have a happy Halloween. Be
Halloween
safe.
Halloween is here.
Don't drink too much. Spooked. Don't too many, eat too many candies. Don't have any too many enchiladas. I don't know. I'm trying to have a party, everybody. Carve some pumpkin.
If you are driving home or if you're still driving to work, we want you to have a safe drive wherever you may be going. Whether you're going up, down, left, right, whatever freeway you're on, whatever street you're on, wherever your car's positioned, you're parked, be safe too. Just watch out for them ghosts and them deadly venomous people. So everybody, just stay safe out there. Love each other. Be cool to each other. Treat each other right. You know, and if you can have a great Monday, then you can have a great life.
Yes, everybody, it's the Runner and Gunner podcast. We're going to ask you to, after you're done listening to the show, after it's done wrapping up and you hear the little end bit, we want you to turn off your cell phones, leave them into the car, leave them in the car whenever the chance you got.
Yeah, leave them
at home.
Leave them there.
Don't have the...
Spend time with your kids, with your loved ones, with your family, instead of staring at that phone all night.
Yes, so live a electronic-free life. You know, turn off the TV, turn off your cell phone, leave it all behind, go for a drive, take none of that.
Laptops off.
Take your family, just have some conversation, just have some brain activity, some eye contact.
Make sure everybody's having a good day.
Absorption of each other's bubbles. Drink some life, everybody. It is water out there. It is raining out there. Drink some life. Have a good Monday.
Drink up life.
Have a great life. We want you to succeed this week. We want you to do everything that you plan to do as long as it's under the good graces of God.
Yes.
We want you to succeed in it.
Succeed.
Have a wonderful
Proceed,
week.
Proceed, succeed.
Jesus Christ the Lord bless you in your car seat with your booster seatbelt on. Heads up, hands on the wheel, eyes focused. Stay focused. Have wisdom. Have love. Runner and Gunner. What else?
And one more thing. A special shout goes out to Mr. John Lennon today. Happy birthday to John
Happy
Lennon.
Happy birthday.
Let's go, everybody. And we love you guys out there in Runner Gunner land. So, you know, just stay tuned for the next episode because we got another couple crazy ones coming up. We got the top 10 movies of all time, the horror movies of all time. So just get ready for that. And things are going to be great. Things are just going to escalate to greatness like they have been and they will be. Looking forward to the future. Looking forward to tomorrow. Have a bright life. Have a bright day. Stay awesome. We love you guys. Have a good day.
What's up, everybody? We are
it's the Runner and
Gunner,
the podcast, the greatest podcast known to mankind.
Yes, we're usually a video game podcast, but this month, all along,
only
we're doing the Halloween special.
The Halloween special, which means a lot of scary stuff in there. Very informative, very scary. You guys got to stay tuned into it because you have to listen to what we are talking about.
Yes, so next week we did a poll and we found out that everybody wants to listen about the deaths of Chester Covington and
Chester Soundgarden. Copperpot. I mean Soundgarden.
Soundgarden. Yeah. Aaron Lewis. Yeah. No, not Aaron Lewis.
Aaron Burr.
Temple of the Dog. Not Eddie Vedder, but the other one.
Yeah, who let the dogs out?
Yes.
Yes, so that
the guy from Audioslave.
And next week,
so Chester and Audioslave, we're doing the double homicide. I mean, double suicide. Yes, everybody out there.
Yes. So stay tuned. So stay tuned, everybody.
We're gonna kick some butt and tell you what's up. So yeah, you guys gotta listen, and if you hear it, you'll know that it is knowledge. And we're
yes, so be scared. Yes.
Yeah.
Audioslave and Linkin Park, the double suicides next week. And the week after that, we have a special episode.
Super
the finale
special.
of Halloween.
The finale. Chester the Molester and Chester Copperpot go up against each other in a one-on-one tournament in the freaking Cage of Doom.
The Runner and Gunner Video Game Podcast
is a free podcast.
The only free podcast.